It's the Jeremiah Show. Tearing back the curtain on the hospitality, music, and entertainment industry with insider tips and the hottest global guests in the biz. With Dr. D and special LA personal development commentator Mike Gormley. He's a restaurant and bar fixture, a partner with legendary rock star drummer Mick Fleetwood in Fleetwood's on Front Street in Maui, and he's your radio host. And now, from a race around the sun, Jeremiah Higgins.
Hands now.
You think you're black? You're blue now. Let me ask you a question. You think you're black?
I want to sleep.
You think them your people?
I want to sleep.
Well, they're not.
Anticipated.
America. You're blue now.
Welcome to the Jeremiah Show. How you doing today, Dr. D?
I'm doing well. I get a little confused sometimes. This is the Jeremiah Show.
We can rename it.
Not the Jeremiah Show.
We could do the Tehran Show. Depends. Today's the Tehran Show.
Well, yeah, Mr. Funny Man. Yeah, We'll get to that.
It's a funny man down there.
Did he bring his audience with him?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so quiet in here, it's a little lonely.
I mean, those are the only physical props that a comedian has, right? Are an audience. You need to carry an audience with you everywhere you go.
You know, knowing our personalities, I don't think we can comment on comedy. We're not that funny.
But yeah, that's true.
We'll ask Tehran about that. Hey, so coming into from the intro there, we played a little clip from Black and Blue, our good friend Tyrese Gibson's new movie. I was down in L.A. last weekend at the ArcLight when it premiered. I believe it was last weekend. I can't remember the days. Blurred together right now.
They do, don't they? Yes.
But yeah, checked out the movie. Black and Blue is a new movie out. You got to go check it out. Really intense. Really, really
There
good.
Are more of them coming out on this subject line.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, that was a little clip, and I just wanted to... He's in London right now finishing up Fast and Furious 9. Number 9, yeah. And
is there a... this is a franchise... And I'd like to get in on it. I'd like to open a corner store right next to the 7-Eleven.
I think the entry is too high for you right now. Anyway, so I text him, right? He's over in London. It's probably midnight or something.
Right.
And I said, just checked out the movie. It's really great. And he says, writes me back the nice, thanks so much for supporting, for going and seeing my movie. There's so many out there. I really appreciate it, Jeremiah. I just thought that was so cool that, you know, busy guy like that kid, you know, he's thanking the people that go and check out his movie. So anyways, Tyrese, great movie.
Very
and,
cool.
And hope to see you in LA soon.
That's always nice.
Okay, so today, though, we've got Hollywood. This is really, let me back up a little bit. Libero Theater.
Uh-huh.
4 weeks ago, I think. Again,
yeah, three, 4 weeks ago.
A little bit of a blur.
Right.
I invited you. You couldn't make it.
I couldn't make it, unfortunately.
Next time you're going to definitely have to come check it out.
Oh, yeah.
So go out and see Comet. It's Thursday night, you know, in Santa Barbara. You know Santa Barbara, sleepy little town after 7 o'clock in the winter.
They turn the lights out at 10.
Yeah. Comedy show is so great. And Tehran, our special guest today, opened up and then came back out a couple times. But he... I was cracking up. I mean, my sides were splitting, and I'm not joking. I really needed a good laugh that day. Yeah. It was great. Everybody, I think, was in the same mind frame. And one of the things that I thought that was so special was the connection that he made with the fans in the crowd. So I got to watch this guy. Keep your eye on him. He really is going to be one of our biggest stars in comedy. He's got a great perspective on comedy, and we're going to learn all about that here in the show. He's our special guest all day long.
All day long. The entire program.
Yep.
So, I understand. Is he coming to us on location from Tehran? Or
He's at the Laugh Factory.
Oh,
right
Laugh
now.
Factory.
He's actually in between.
In Tehran?
He's in between sets.
In between sets.
Yes. This guy has a master's, Dr. D, and a law degree.
Now, that's funny.
So be careful. Careful what you say. You've got a podcast. You got to check it out. It's on iTunes and Apple Podcast. It's Imperfect Gentleman.
Imperfect.
Yeah. And then he's also got a show every Monday and Thursday at 10 o'clock at the Laugh Factory. It's his own show. So you got to check that out if you're in LA on Sunset Boulevard. All right. Let's welcome our very special guest today by way of Los Angeles, Tehran. Tehran,
hey,
welcome
Tehran,
to the Jeremiah
gentlemen,
Show.
Gentlemen, it is a pleasure to be on the Jeremiah Show. Notice how I enunciated correctly. I want to make sure we all feel welcome.
Well, you're sure as heck not running for public office. I can tell you that right now. You're enunciating.
I'm definitely not. That's definitely not something on my slate. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, that's good. Well, it's good to have you with us.
It's great
it's good to be here. I appreciate you, Dr. D. It's great to hear you. I was scheduling a colonoscopy with you. Dr. D? Can we get to that?
Can we get to that? Well, we can. Last name is Dugan, and one of our programmers just all of a sudden she's always calling people doc. You know, they'll say Dr. So and so, and it just kind of stuck. Dr. D just kind of stuck. Of course, I've always considered myself an audio physician. I do archival work, and
well,
you have you know. So anyway, so that's kind of how it evolved.
Way more of an appropriate response than I expected. Way more of an appropriate response.
I went to school for 15 years.
I think it's probably because I introduced you with a law degree, so he's being very careful.
That's right.
I'm always very careful, especially in today's climate.
Yeah.
It pays off to be careful.
Oh, yeah.
So... thankfully, I've been a careful person most of my life.
So I have a little story before we started. I want to get my first question to you, Tehran. Yeah, so Maz Jobrani is a good friend of yours, right? And a mutual acquaintance, and introduced us actually at the Libero backstage there for the first time I'd met you in the green room there. And he was texting. We were texting back and forth before the show. And Camilla Cleese, you know, who also... appeared at the Libero that evening, a friend of ours. She said she was texting, it was a group text, and she says, "Maz, who are you bringing?" And he said, "Tehran." And so I know his background and how his family left Tehran, and I thought it was a joke, but I didn't realize he was referring to you. So I'm like, ha 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 ha, you know. And then later
you
I meet you, and I'm like,
"Was bringing a revolution?"
Yes.
So you thought he was bringing everyone from Tehran?
Yeah, I thought it was
there.
I thought he was being funny, and then I met you backstage, I'm like, oh my God, I'm such an idiot.
Well, I wouldn't put it past Maz. You know,
yeah. So let's start with your name, Tehran, because I have a personal belief, this is my own personal belief, that a name has so much to do with who you become, how you relate in the world, how people relate to you. It has this underlying influence, I think, in how you turn out and who you become. So... Tehran, the name. I don't think I've ever met anyone else with that name. And how
and
has that
you
shaped
ever
you?
Will. I don't think you ever will. I completely agree. If my name was not Tehran, I do not know who I would have become. Would I have the same sense of humor? Would I have the same sense of destiny? I don't know. It's just such a unique name given to me in the United States at a time where Tehran's not on the top five destination vacation list in the United States.
I understand they name a city after you somewhere in the world.
They did. They did. And when I was a kid, I honestly thought they named the capital of Iran, which is Tehran, after me. I thought that was the thing. You know, when you're a kid, you think the 4th of July, all the fireworks are for you. You're the only person that has that birthday. All those things. That was mine. Mine was they named a capital after me.
And you accepted it humbly, didn't you?
Of course. Humility is one of my personal favorite characteristics of my own. I have so many, but humility is, I mean, when you're so good looking and funny and amazing, it's hard to stay humble, but I do it somehow. You guys are welcome.
We appreciate that. I mean, we couldn't even get you. It's so hard to get you on the show and to just pick up the phone, you know, so we really do appreciate that that humble nature of yours there. We are talking with comedian Tehran. We will be right back after this short break. Stick around. We all need to laugh a lot more right now. We'll be right back.
Check out Hollywood's hottest rising star, comedian Tehran. Find Tehran's comedy on HBO, Fox, and YouTube. You can listen to his podcast, Imperfect Gentleman, on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to check out his podcast with comedian Maz Jobrani, Back to School, on All Things Comedy Network. And see Tehran live at his show at the Laughing Factory on Sunset twice a week every Monday and Thursday at 10 p.m. Follow him on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook at I Am Tehran.
I see you looking. It's Persian night a little. It's like a mix. But the reason I'm up is because I'm half Persian. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're shocked. You're like, oh, he's one of them. That's how it works. That's right. Because you're looking at me. I already know how he's like, oh, my God. That's the most dangerous combination in America, bro. Tommy, what are we going to do about them? That's right. I am. I'm America's worst nightmare. Half Persian, half black. Half terrorist. Shaw's of Sunset, Atlanta Housewives put together. Carjack, hijack, I'm capable of anything. You don't even know. When I say I'm the bomb, I might really mean it, bro.
Comedian, not the city, even though we're equally as dangerous, and you are tuned in to the Jeremiah Show. And if you don't know, now you know.
Did you know that binge watching is bad for your brain?
What?
Crazy. Binge listening is way better. Binge listen to all of our shows on iTunes/podcast/The Jeremiah Show.
You're listening to The Jeremiah Show with Dr. D. Find all of our past shows on iTunes, podcasts, The Jeremiah Show.
Hi, I'm Brooke Williamson, Top Chef season 14 winner, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show, so don't go away.
If you get to worry, what you ought to do is sing. If you get worried, what you ought to do is sing. If you get worried, what you ought to do is sing. Sing about your trouble, just my past.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show. We are talking with comedian Tehran in by way of Los Angeles. And you know, I kind of fibbed there. I said you're in between sets at the Laugh Factory, but I'm sure that's not too far off. Here on
late, I'm always in between sets at the Laugh Factory or somewhere. That's the nature of comedy: is you do not stop.
Yeah, and
it's nonstop.
You have a show this evening at 10 p.m.
I do. Every single Monday and Thursday at 10, I'm at the Laugh Factory, the world-famous Laugh Factory right there in Sunset. Hopefully one day you guys will take the trip down and come to the Laugh Factory, the epicenter of comedy.
Yeah, no.
Have fun with us.
That will happen very soon. I'd love to come down and see you down there.
You should come and do a set. Honestly, Jeremiah is very funny, and Dr. D is very funny. I think that you guys could have a very good vaudeville two-man setup.
I'm funny looking. That's, I've been accused of that, just not funny.
Vaudevillian, huh?
Vaudevillian.
See, I feel like that should be the name. Vaudevillian, and you guys have a two-man show on stage where you go back and forth.
Well, I tried calling myself Kreskin and got sued, so you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do have a law degree. I do know how that goes.
See, I just thought the show, you know, the Jeremiah Show was named after me, so I just started. It fit perfectly. I applied for the job.
Similar.
I got it.
Very
yeah.
similar.
Now I know this is probably one of Jeremiah's questions in his list of questions that he has in front of him, and we're going to try to get through as many of those as we can. But I have a two-parter for you. When was the first time you thought you were funny? And the part two of that is, and when did others think you were funny?
Here's, being funny was something that I found out. I thought I was funny my whole life. When I say I thought I was funny, I tell my jokes, as people like to call them, but they're really just real life experiences or perspectives that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I laugh at them all the time. And thankfully, most of the time, the audience laughs with me as well. But I really do it for myself. Now, the time that I figured out that others found me funny was, of course, when I was getting in trouble in school. That's the nature of the comedic beast, is usually you are the troublemaker, the mischievous one. You always get, oh, your son is very intelligent, but behavior problems.
Isn't that the way?
That's the way. And it's always the kids who have great behavior. They never turn out to be comedians or anything. They turn out to be CEOs and billionaires. Maybe I should have had better behavior, just to be honest.
Yeah, but then, you know, you wouldn't be where you are today, so...
It's not as fun.
It's not as fun.
You had to have been a good student at the same time, you know, for your master's, going through college, law degree. How did comedy play into that, and when did you decide to take a left or a right there? And make
well,
it your
here's
career.
The most interesting thing. First, I was a very good student. Second, I was a very big troublemaker in school. Third, I also played sports, which kind of offset the troublemaking because here I am, an excellent student, graduated, valedictorian. And so when you play sports and you're valedictorian, they kind of let you slide with all the trouble you get into. As long as it wasn't horrible trouble, it was just mischievous trouble, right? Then I'm going through, I never thought I would be a comedian. It never even crossed my mind. I actually wanted to be an executive. I wanted to be a record music mogul of sorts. And then, and this is why it's so interesting, representation is so important. And I say that for everybody, because it feels like oftentimes we silence one person's voice in order to hear another's, and I do not believe in that at all. Everyone should have a voice equally. Everyone should have voice representation, be seen, heard, have their stories told. I was watching television, I was in law school, and I was wondering what my next move was. I knew I didn't want to practice law, but I wanted the degree. And I saw a young comedian named Mikey Winfield, who's very, very funny, on television, on Fuse Network of all channels. This is Canadian MTV. No one watches Canadian MTV. Not even Canadians watch Canadian MTV.
Not even the people who produce it.
Exactly. No one watches. And I was watching Fuse Network, and I saw Mikey Winfield have a show where he would do comedy and then introduce music videos. And I honestly thought to myself, I saw a guy who kind of resembled me doing something that I thought was cool. And I thought to myself, wow, if this guy can do it, I can do it too. And that weekend, I found out he was at the Laugh Factory that weekend. And I used my little bit of money and I flew to the Laugh Factory to watch him. Ended up meeting the owner of the Laugh Factory, Jamie Masada, who has been instrumental in my career. And I somehow convinced this legend of comedy, Jamie Masada, to give me a show on Mondays at the Laugh Factory, every single Monday. And this was with the help of the then manager, Christina Shams. And I got this show. And Jamie had never thought to ask me, had I done comedy before? Had never thought to ask me if I lived in Los Angeles, because I presented it in a way that was as if I was there. I was already in the mix. And Maz Jobrani actually is the first person to give me stage time. Maz Jobrani and Max Amini, who are very funny comedians as well. Of course, you know Maz. Mm-hmm. The way you know Tyrese, by the way, I love how you just dropped the fact that my good friend Tyrese, he texted me and he was like, hey, Jay Money, you're my boy. Whatever. You want to be in the next Fast and Furious? And you were like, nah, Tyrese, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm busy. My schedule's just booked.
Yeah, that was a great. I love how you casually dropped that you and Tyrese her friend.
You know, I just wanted to, I thought it was so cool how he responded, you know, that I saw the movie, that he's like, let me know what you think after you get out. Let me know, you know, what the energy's like and all that. I just thought that, and then thank you, you know, isn't that a lesson for all of us just to be gracious and you know, humble and thankful that, you know, I don't know. Sorry, I dropped the name there, but I just had to promote that movie.
That's amazing that Tyrese took the time out. That says a lot about you and him, the fact that you went out of your way to show someone that you, he's a big star. He doesn't need his movies to have support, and you supported him. And then on top of that, he reciprocated it by saying, thank you so much, and took the time to reach out to you. I can't wait to be at that level. I'm not texting anyone back. The first people I'm going to forget are the little people.
By the way,
he's already forgotten us, Dr.
That's
D.
That's true. I'm sorry.
Who am I talking to?
Dr. D's also on the phone. I forgot.
By the way, hey. Taran, in Jeremiah's extensive research, we did get a hold of the folks at the Laugh Factory, and we actually did get the three questions they did ask you. Since they didn't ask you about comedy, we did find out that they asked you if you could change a tire, milk a cow, and cook a souffle, which you said yes, and they said you got the stage.
That's exactly how that went down.
Very
strange. How many men in LA are unable to change a tire? I'll tell you that one real quick. You'd be surprised. You would be shocked.
We're talking with comedian. There's a perfect example, Dr. D, of why we should let Tehran do the comedy.
Yeah.
Okay, we just got to step back and get shut up. We're talking with comedian Tehran. We'll be right back after this break.
Check out Hollywood's hottest rising star, comedian Tehran. Find Tehran's comedy on HBO, Fox, and YouTube. You can listen to his podcast, Imperfect Gentleman, on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to check out his podcast with comedian Maz Jobrani, Back to School, on All Things Comedy Network. And see Tehran live at his show at the Laughing Factory on Sunset twice a week, every Monday and Thursday at 10 p.m. Follow him on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook at I Am Taran.
Everyone thinks that people are so different. There's all this like racism. Like, I'm sure when you go to the airport, sir, you're not getting through security. You know what I'm saying? Not seriously, because I want security to come get you right now. Like, you have like a little look to you, like it's dangerous look. Is this your husband, ma'am? Yeah, he's a terrorist. So here's the thing. Is he on time to everything? Him? Everything. But I don't have problems at the airport. Like, when I go to the airport, it's not the same thing. Because I look American, I look black. So when I go, they're like, you good. Like, they just let me walk through. They don't even ask questions. You know what I'm saying? My dad goes to the airport, they give him so much. He has so many problems at the airport, but he brings the problems on himself. He does it to himself because he tries to do stuff you know you're not allowed to do. My dad still tries to bring water on the plane. There's a big sign, no water. And every time they make him throw it away, he gets so mad. He brings this like 5-ton pound of Pond's cream. I don't know, uses Pond's. Then he brings water and they make him throw it away. He gets so mad. One time we're going to the airport. I'm like, Bubba, you can't take Ob with you. You can't take water. He's like, it's okay. Takes the bag. The guy's like, sir, you can't take the water with you. He's like, I don't know. What do you mean? It's like, sir, there's bottles of water in your bag. You can't take them with you. True story. My dad's like, it's not Voss here. The guy takes them out. My dad had frozen the water the last night. He's like, it doesn't say no ice. It does not say no ice.
This is David LaBrava, and we are live in 5, 4, 3. Coming right at you on The Jeremiah Show, KZSB 1290 on your AM dial. Check out my podcast coming up. Check out the interview. Let's try to help some people find a better way.
Show lots of fun here today on the show with comedian Taran, and it's been said, Taran, that you are the third most interesting man alive.
I am, and honestly, I feel that I'm the first. I am.
Have you made it to first yet? I was going to ask. Yeah,
first most entering. I should be number one, but the Dos Equis guy got that, and so they labeled me number three.
Hey, wait a minute. Well, who's number two? You telling me that the Dos Equis guy
William
is one?
William Shatner. Second most interesting man alive.
I like Shat, but I don't know about that.
Shat. I don't know if he goes by Shat.
He and I work. I hope he doesn't go by.
You know what? I think that might be his new nickname. My man Shat. Man Shat. That's his name. time.
This is a family show.
That's right.
So you're from Washington, D.C. originally. Did you grow up there, Tehran?
I am. I'm a Washington, D.C. native, born, raised, went to basically the only other place that I've ever lived other than Washington, D.C. area is Los Angeles. So I came out here approximately 7 years ago, and I've been here ever since. But I am and if you know me and you know the city of Washington, D.C., you will know that I'm very Washington, D.C.
How describe that, because I haven't actually been to Washington, D.C.
First of all, I advise everyone to take a trip to Washington, D.C. as an adult. A lot of people go when they're in grade school, and they just go and they don't really remember it. However, Washington, D.C. is, and I'm not saying this as a biased native, I'm saying this as a person who's been all over the country. Washington, D.C. is the best, if not one of the best, top three cities in the United States. Everyone knows New York, everyone knows L.A., but Washington, D.C. it's amazing. It's a cleaner New York. It has the best tourist attractions as far as museums. You walk away from Washington, D.C. feeling smarter.
Seriously?
Seriously, Dr. D. And I'm telling you, it would do you good. You should go have some Washington, D.C. time. You'll come away. I think it
He's
would
on
do
the floor.
You just
put Dr. D on the floor. That's good advice. Can we say we know Tehran when we show up?
I would advise against that. I would probably not drop my name.
Okay.
My name. And here's the thing. A lot of people always ask me, why is your name Tehran? They think that maybe, you know, black women name their kids whatever it is. No. My father's Iranian and my mother's African American. And they were like, oh, that's not difficult enough. Let's name the kid Tehran just so he feels the oppression and he feels that bigotry. Like, let's add something. Let's sprinkle on a little more difficultness.
Well, you mentioned, kidding aside, in the beginning there, quickly, you mentioned that if your name wasn't Tehran, you may not have gone into comedy. And I have to imagine comedy. If I think about myself or anyone going into comedy, I think that has got to be the hardest job. You know, you're just putting yourself out there. You're up there to be judged. You need to engage with people. You need to bring them alive and connect with them. And I just think, God, if you did it, there's got to be times where you just don't feel it, or you just it just got to be so hard, the hardest job. And maybe you said in the beginning, you know, maybe the name and the different, you know, things that you had to go through as a kid and growing up. Do you think that, you know, made you stronger, made you funnier, made you, you have to relate. You had to maybe go the little bit of an extra mile there.
I agree 100%. Just being named Tehran, and also when I was growing up, being mixed race wasn't as common as it is today. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we're so familiar, even all of the artists, Drake is mixed. But when I was growing up, we came from this generation where a lot of people were not mixed. And as bad as everyone thinks the world is getting and racism in America is at its worst, it's honestly at the best it's ever been. And I don't want to say it's not that bad. It's, comparatively speaking, much better. And hopefully it continues on this path where everyone just integrates and understands and respects one another even more. Growing up, I faced a lot of racial divide, and it wasn't only white people. It was also black people. It was also Middle Eastern people. Because they did not know how to place me in a box. And I had to learn how to live outside that box, use my humor to deflect what could have easily become pain. And I began to develop a very unique perspective on the world, where I saw the world from different angles and a different view than most people have the chance or opportunity to do so, because of the different cultural and heritage and also the religious background. I'm also, my father's family is Muslim and Zoroastrian, and my mother's family is Baptist and Jewish. So it's just, basically, wow. I was a genetic experiment. I was a genetic experiment to see what would happen in the world.
By the way, before we go to break, I just want to say that you should actually be extremely grateful for the name Tehran, because your mother, you said, was from Africa, right?
African American.
She could have, her family could have come from a tribe in Africa that speaks in only clicks and buzzes, okay?
It's possible.
So,
it
you know.
So there is, it could be, you're saying it could be harder for him.
It could be.
Could have been harder.
Could have been harder.
I would have still become a comedian at that point.
Well, Tehran, I mean, comedy comes from, well, as they say, right? Tragedy and pain. I mean, you have to laugh. You've got to laugh all day long. All of us have some sort of challenge. We all go through something. You know, you got to laugh, and you need those people like you that bring that laughter to us, and it's a craft. I'm in awe of it and your talent. So thank you, sir. We are going to take a real quick break here. Dr. D is shaking his fist at me because we're going overtime here. We'll be right back after this short message, but we are talking with comedian Tehran. Stay with us.
Check out Hollywood's hottest rising star, comedian Tehran. Find Tehran's comedy on HBO, Fox, and YouTube. You can listen to his podcast, Imperfect Gentleman, on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to check out his podcast with comedian Maz Jobrani, Back to School, on All Things Comedy Network. And see Tehran live at his show at the Laughing Factory on Sunset twice a week, every Monday and Thursday at 10 p.m. Follow him on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook at I Am Tehran.
Who saw Black Panther? Who watched Black Panther? Black Panther, of course the black people did. If y'all didn't, look. Black Panther's my favorite movie I've ever seen in my life. I didn't watch it, but I'm gonna tell you why I didn't see it though. I've only gone to see it once, and it was at the premiere. And honestly, wouldn't shut up. Like, they kept talking. I'm like, shut up, I'm trying to watch the movie. I didn't end up watching it. I didn't get to see it. But I tell everyone it's my favorite movie because if you're black, you know that's what you're supposed to say. You love Black Panther, you gotta walk around. Someone's like, Black Panther, you gotta be like, Black Panther, I watched it. Friday, watched it. Boys in the Hood, watched it. Black Panther, it's like the three movies. Here's the thing. I like Black Panther. I think it should have won an Oscar. I'm just kidding. It came out this year. She the only one that got it. See, the rest of the audience is like, yeah, it should have won an Oscar. Yo, here's what I always thought was interesting. And I want to propose it to you, sir, in the interracial couple.
We're not interracial. I'm Australian.
Yes, yes.
Oh, right. You do know you're white, though. And I'll explain to you. So if we were in a car and a cop pulled us over and was like, get on the floor, you'd look at me like, you better get on the floor. Like, you wouldn't all of a sudden be like, officer, actually, I'm Australian. You wouldn't, I'm caught kangaroo. You wouldn't do that. You would look at me like, this better get on the floor. I bet you change your accent and everything. You'd be like, hello, no, I'm Stacy. Like, don't play.
Greetings. This is Santa Davis, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show, KZSB, and AM 1290. I have an album that I released maybe a year or so ago, Watch Your Liberty. It's on iTunes, CD Baby, Spotify. It's out there. Type in Carlton Santa Davis, and you will see it come up. Check it out.
Take us with you in your car, to the beach, or to the gym. You can find all of our shows on iTunes/podcast/The Jeremiah Show.
What's up, guys? My name's Lennon Silvers Lee, head chef of a sushi bar in Montecito. You're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
Welcome back to The Jeremiah Show. No, I'm Dr. D, not Jeremiah. And it's great to have Tehran here on the program. And in this segment, very short segment, I wanted to address the language that you use in your comedy. Now, certainly you're aware of many of your predecessors down through the decades who have had what is called very blue comedy. They use the a lot of profanity in their comedy, and some of it is very funny in the context in which it is used. How do you balance that? It would say to me that your act is predominantly adult oriented, rated R even, is if that's a fair assessment. How did you come to say, I'm going to go down this road?
Well, I'm actually very PG-13, so I broach topics, but I never cross over. There's no nudity and violence. I'm a PG-13 comedian. Okay. However, when it comes to comedy, the way I feel is anyone who creates, as long as you're funny, that's the important thing. People keep assessing that people are easily offended. If you're funny, people are usually not offended. And even in the offensive culture, there is a system where just because you are offended doesn't mean you're right. But on the flip side, just because a comedian is offensive does not mean he's right or she's right either. So there's a balance. And once you find yourself and find your true voice, it plays the part. Andrew Dice Clay would not be anyone other than Andrew Dice Clay. Mm-hmm. And on the same, Jim Gaffigan would not be anyone other than Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah.
It same goes for Amy Schumer, Whitney Cummings, or any of the comedians, Kevin Hart, and Dave Chappelle, who's my personal favorite, Maz Jobrani, who's one of my personal favorites. Their language just plays the part. And if you, here's my last thing, is if you do not believe in the freedom of speech for those you disdain, you do not believe in the freedom of speech.
Now, what about the comment made by some that, well, Tehran, because of your race, you can use the N-word, but I, of predominantly white origin, if I use that word, I could certainly be castigated, if not strung up.
Sure. And here's what I always say when people bring that up to me. Mm-hmm. You can use the word. Just be prepared for the consequences.
Right.
And understand that there are consequences. Now, when it comes to the N-word, which is such a big thing, first of all, I don't understand why it's even a conversation. It would be very similar to the word baby. Mm-hmm. If you called your wife or significant other baby, it would be familiar. But if someone else randomly did that, it would be offensive. Mm-hmm. Well, think of that in terms of the N-word. And there are the time where people who are Caucasian or not black, and even though I don't know why everyone loves to use the N-word, no one's using the other words, no one's going out of their way to use slurs for Latinos or Asians or any of those things, thankfully. Well, when are white people allowed to say the N-word? Let's say that the world was about to blow up and it was the last second, and you just went to get your frustration out, still probably couldn't say the N-word there, Dr. D. Probably not a good idea. Probably not a good idea to get jumped by a group of black guys right before you, the world ends, right? That's all I'm saying. So there's consequences. That's all. Yeah. There's consequences to the action. I never tell someone what they can and cannot say. Just realize what can and cannot happen and, subsequently.
And with that, we will be back with more from Tehran, from the Laugh Factory in L.A., right after these messages. Check out Hollywood's hottest rising star, comedian Tehran. Find Tehran's comedy on HBO, Fox, and YouTube. You can listen to his podcast, Imperfect Gentleman, on Apple Podcasts. And be sure to check out his podcast with comedian Maz Jobrani, Back to School, on All Things Comedy Network. And see Tehran live at his show at the Laughing Factory on Sunset twice a week every Monday and Thursday at 10 p.m. Follow him on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook at I Am Tehran.
Chance.
I'm Steve.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Lance.
We're the Last Chance Band, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show. You can find our music on Spotify and iTunes.
Don't miss an episode of The Jeremiah Show. You can find all of our shows on iTunes/podcast/The Jeremiah Show.
Hey, this is Camilla Cleese, and you're listening to The Jeremiah Show.
The Jeremiah Show soundtrack is always original, every single show. Did you know there are 10 original songs for each episode? The music on the show is a running soundtrack in my life. I'm always listening to new and original voices that inspire me. I listen for hooks in a song. I listen for melodies that add emotion to our show. If you listen carefully to the 10 songs, you will also find a subtle theme that underscores my guest's vision or just how I feel that day. If you'd like to hear one of your songs played on the show, email me at jeremiah@thejeremiahshow.com.
Hi, it's Suzanne Goen from LA restaurants Luke, AOC, and Tavern, as well as the Hollywood Bowl. And you are listening to The Jeremiah Show. I hope you'll check out our event, LA Loves Alex's Lemonade, and join the cause.
Welcome back to The Jeremiah Show. We're talking with comedian Tehran from, he's been down in LA today. And Tehran, I wanted to, we're going to go into overtime with you because we got a lot more to talk to you about. This has just been a really great hour with you. So radio listeners, be sure to check out the podcast. It's everywhere you pick up a podcast, The Jeremiah Show, and you'll hear the overtime with Tehran. Quickly, if I was thinking about this on the drive-in, a comedy, you know how you go through your high school and it's, and all those smells come back and you're like, that's my high school. And then there's certain places in the world, the dive bar that you used to go in college, you know, and it smells like beer and cigarettes and urine, whatever. What is, if you were a, somebody that just hit the earth and you had never been to Sunset Boulevard or inside of a comedy club, what is that like? Could you describe just what that smell to you? I mean, I know it's an odd question.
The smell of comedy is laughter and butt cheeks. That is exactly what comedy clubs smell like. Laughter and butt cheeks.
Boy.
So just remember that.
So go get your tickets now. Oh,
and with that, we're wrapping up this radio version. That's just a lovely, lovely image. Lovely. Thank you so much.
Tehran, you got the last word, my friend, to your fans, your public, and all that. I'll let you take it from here.
I want to be on my Tyrese and thank you, Jeremiah and Dr. D, for having me on the show. I appreciate you very much. I know that comedy comes from what people think is a place of tragedy, but with you and people like yourself, it's actually a remedy. So thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you so much, sir. Appreciate that.
We'll be approved by the FDA probably next year.
Oh, good. I can't wait.
Go see Tehran. You can see him tonight if you're picking up the podcast Thursday at 10 p.m. In fact, when this airs on radio, the same thing. Every Thursday is 10 p.m. down at the Laugh Factory, Sunset Boulevard. Make the trip. Check out Tehran at I Am Tehran on Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Facebook, all of those social media sites, and go to the podcast now because we're going to go a little bit further here with Tehran. We'll be right back in the podcast, and everybody out there in Radio Land, have a great week. Listen, communicate, and evolve.
Comedian Maz Jobrani, and you are listening to The Jeremiah Show on AM 1290 KZSB Santa Barbara. Listen, man.
Hi, this is Cole Robbins with USA Surf Team, and I am here on The Jeremiah Show. Feel free to reach out to me on my Instagram at Robbins_Cole, or you can always find me with Village Properties, and that is ColeRobbins@VillageSite.com.
Do you need help with your restaurant or hospitality business? See how we can help your business at HJLRestaurantAdvisors.com. Check out our website at TheJeremiahShow.com. We are on iTunes and SoundCloud. Please subscribe on iTunes, podcast The Jeremiah Show. Did you like our soundtrack? Find all of our soundtracks on Spotify, The Jeremiah Show. As always, a big thanks to Dr. D for making our voices come alive on the airwaves, and to our station manager, Les Carroll, for letting us on the airwaves at all. Be sure to check out our very own Richard Dr. D. Dugan's Peabody Award-nominated radio show, Tell Me Your Story, every Sunday at 7 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. Thank you for listening to The Jeremiah Show with Caroline, Shaylin, and Dr. D. Listeners, we appreciate you and want to hear from you. Please send us your ideas at ShowJeremiah on Twitter and Instagram. The Jeremiah Show is produced by executive producer Jeremiah Higgins. Special segments producers Caroline Peacock and Shaylin McHugh. And sound engineer Richard Dr. D. Dugan. Have a great rest of your week, everyone. Evolve.
Welcome back to the Jeremiah Show in overtime with Tayron. Thank you so much for staying a little longer. I hope you're relaxing at home somewhere.
Enjoy the afternoon. I'm actually, I don't want to give you the image of what I'm doing right now, but I am relaxed. I'm very relaxed.
There you go. Yeah, we're in overtime. The score is tied. 6-3. All right.
Okay, so I've got, here's the thing, when Ed Libero, what I really loved about your act that evening was, again, it's a Thursday night, it's a sleepy town, you guys tour all the time, but you come to the town and it's Thursday night and most people don't go out here in Santa Barbara for some reason after 7 on a Thursday, unless you're at the clubs, or the bars. But I loved that you connected, like I can't say it any better than that. You just really connected with your audience, and then it led to this. It felt like a good 20 minutes of my gut splitting, but you had these exchanges with people in the audience. That's who you are, I guess. That's why the Laugh Factory probably brought you in with pretty much sight unseen, right? I mean, that how much is that a part of your comedy and who you are, and how important is that to connect, you feel?
First of all, connecting with the audience is the most important aspect of any performance. You want the audience to feel as involved as possible. This is not a show they're watching, but this, to me, in my case, this is a show that they're as much, if not more so, the participants. So personally, I'm always about connecting with people in general, and I bring that on stage when I connect to the audience. Mm. Secondly, as far as going on stage and who am I off stage and on stage, I am just being myself. I am there's a sincerity. Even if I'm not always funny, at least you know I'm telling my truth.
See, that's true. That sincerity is, I guess, a better word. What I picked up on there was.
Yeah, and to that end, you know, you go up on stage and you're being yourself, and of course the audience is the most important part to connect with, and that they're participating in this evening, this event. But you and I both know there have been hopefully very few nights and sets where you get the sense from the audience that they wish they had not participated in this particular event.
I'll be very honest. There is one particular time. Comedians talk about how they bomb. I have one specific time. And first of all, with a name like Tehran, I shouldn't be bombing ever. I don't know if that's... I hope you have... You realize that I just gave you a new audience, the CIA.
That's
so
right.
You're welcome.
The NSA has already been listening.
Good. So now they have even more reason to do so. However, there's one particular time in which I really bombed. And this is one of the times where I learned a huge lesson. And that lesson is always be ready. This is a couple years ago. This is maybe 6 years ago. I was a much more green comedian. And Chris D'Elia, who is now basically a household name, coming off his show Undateable and just his huge fan base. Chris D'Elia was still an up-and-coming comedian, and Dane Cook was Dane Cook. Dane Cook is a legend. And Chris D'Elia had just gone on and basically gotten a standing ovation. Killed the crowd. Mm. Killed the crowd. And Dane Cook was walking in, and he needed a couple minutes before he would go up. And so I was told that I was going on in between. I was not prepared. I had just come to watch. I'm an astute student of comedy. I just love watching everyone on stage just to get an understanding of what to do right, what to do wrong, and things like this. Anyway, long story short, next thing I know, as I'm protesting, I hear my name is called. I go up on stage, and it was 5 minutes of crickets. It would have been better if they had booed. It would have been better if they booed. If they booed, I would have had something to play with. It was just crickets, to the point when I was getting off, someone specifically said, "Nice try, buddy." And that was it. And I got off.
How does that feel, though? Can you describe that feeling? What do you, I mean, do you go, How long does it last? What's it? It's just
honestly, it's just the, I can't describe it in a politically correct way. That feeling is the Robin Williams feeling. It is just this is the end. Everything is nigh. I was very down. I questioned if this is something I should do. If what am I doing? I moved across the country to follow this quote unquote dream. I was at that point making maybe $200 to $300 a month, surviving on scraps. Why am I doing this? And then another comedian, Tiffany Haddish, who is now definitely a household name, mm-hmm. who's always been extremely supportive, said something so simple to me. She said, "Why are you down? You're just going to get back up tomorrow." And that was it. And it just let me know there's always another mic. There's always another opportunity. And I learned, always be ready. I am ready. I can go up anywhere, anytime, and I'm ready.
Again, going back to the night I saw you, you were ready. It takes a skill. You're almost three steps ahead of whatever the audience member may say back to you. It's almost like your mind is calculated easily and where it's funny, but yeah, you're listening. You're involved with what's going on in that room. You said, you'd question, why do I do this? That evening, after that night, after that show, why do you do this? Do you think?
Honestly, the real reason is because comedy to me is what can bring the world together. In the modern day, we don't have what we would consider true philosophers. I firmly believe that if Plato or Aristotle were alive today, they would simply be comedians. Who makes us think about the world more than comedians? Jon Stewart, who has put politics on everyone's dinner table, is just a comedian. Mm-hmm. Bill Maher is just a comedian. John Oliver is just a comedian. People who make us think about race, and from Richard Pryor to Dave Chappelle to Chris Rock to Eddie Murphy, are simply comedians. They brought everyone into the fold of what it's like to be part of Black America, no matter what mm-hmm. race or background you had. The people who made us think about family, even someone like Louis C.K., whose name is forbidden at this point, these are the people who shaped our lives. These are the people. All of the Roseanne Barr.
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you think that in the truth is the comedy? When it's very truthful, it's funny. Because
of course.
You go, wait a minute, it's not that important. You know, you laugh at yourself. Yeah. I did that. I thought that was so important. I was so mad, but you know, it's stupid. You know, I laughed.
And you think about the absurd things in life, and good comedy makes you laugh. Good comedy makes you laugh, but great comedy makes you think. Great comedy, the good ones, you're like, ha, ha, ha. The best ones, you're like, that's so true.
Yeah.
And now you have just imprinted a perspective on someone who, whether it changes their mind or not, it does not matter, as long as now they're open to the idea of seeing a story from a different side. That's all. That's all we can ask for.
Is there ever a time when you say to yourself, and I'm gonna say this is probably done off stage when you're writing your material, when you're preparing your material, you're getting it the way you want it, where all of a sudden it goes off in your head, it's too soon?
It's always too soon, Dr. D. It's always too soon. Okay.
But you know what
if
I mean?
Listen, I would be banned if you knew the things that I thought in my head, I would be banned from everything all the time. It's always too soon.
Well, that brings up an interesting question, though. That's so tough right now to say anything. It's so political. Everything you say,
charged.
You have to think about it. Yeah. How do you deal with that as a comedian, or do you just ignore it?
Or
I don't have to deal with it at all, because I'm not famous enough for it to matter to me. It only matters to famous people. Whenever you're famous, people care
humble
what you
guy.
Say or have done. But until then, everyone's a scumbag. And that's what the problem is.
Yeah.
judge, yeast, you be judged, right? So we are in a situation where we are provoking the concept of judgment. We look at someone's past. But at the same time, it's also that person's responsibility to evolve, to also understand what their brand is. No one's getting mad at Anthony Jeselnik for saying very offensive things, because that is his brand. However, when Kevin Hart has said very offensive things in the past, we're looking at Kevin Hart as squeaky clean Kevin Hart of today and forgetting the rise of who Kevin Hart was to get to this point. So at that point, you do have to evolve. You do have to realize that the climate of the world has changed. Things that are appropriate today or inappropriate today were not as inappropriate in the past, and we've changed. I wouldn't judge an 80-year-old white guy by something they said in the Mason-Dixon 50 years ago.
Yeah.
I might still be wary, but I wouldn't expect anything different. So it's a concept where we have to just be aware, and at the same time, on one hand, be understanding, but on the other hand, also understand intent. Where was this person really coming from, and what did they really truly mean? Well, stop taking things out of context.
I saw a piece on CBS Sunday Morning about presidents going through history, and what they were focusing on was the fact that most people, when they think of, say, an Abraham Lincoln, you know, or a Jefferson or a Washington or a Roosevelt, what have you, usually they will remember whatever it was. Like with Lincoln, it's the Emancipation Proclamation, right?
Sure.
However, most people don't know, according to the story that was shown on this program, that Abraham Lincoln did not believe in giving blacks the right to vote. He wanted to free them, but he didn't feel that it was right to give them the right to vote. Now, you're now talking about two juxtapositions here, almost diametrically opposed concepts. On the one hand, these are human beings and they should be free, but we don't want to give them the right to vote. Wait a minute. And of course, you hear the stories about like Jefferson and so forth, how he didn't care much for, you know, he didn't think that slavery was right, but he had them. Those kinds of things.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I tend to agree with you.
We're all hypocrites. We're all hypocrites.
Sure.
An unfortunate circumstance is when your hypocrisy affects so many people. When you're the president, that's when your hypocrisy is extremely impactful. When you're the guy who works at the cashier at Rite Aid, then it doesn't impact anyone but maybe your girlfriend that you're even lucky to have. So it just depends on where you are and who you are as well. And that's why racial connotations are so important.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we do see reverse racism. A lot of people say, oh, reverse racism doesn't exist. No, it does exist. However, it is not impactful. So it has a lot to do with the connotation of where you are. When we look at history, if we start combing through, taking a fine comb through history, we find out a lot of dirt on the people that we are supposed to look up to the most. Gandhi was a racist, Martin Luther King Jr. was an adulterer, and so forth and so on. And of course, all the founding fathers of the United States were slave owners, and at least in the case of Thomas Jefferson, he had the best situation where he was having an affair with his wife's sister who was half black, and that was a whole thing. I mean, unfortunately, that's the case. The only thing we can do now is we can do better. Don't be bitter, be better. Let's move forward. And I believe Jeremiah says, communicate and evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do this.
And listen, I think, is more important than anything, right? I mean, do we all listen enough? And
I'm sorry, were you talking about something?
Hey, I love all that, Daron. That's that just says again how insightful you are in your comedy. It takes your perspective and really, you know, really makes it shine and makes you laugh. I love it. I love what you're doing. I wanted to. There would not be a Tehran without your mother and your father. Yeah. So, a conservative Iranian father, a liberal African American mother. How did that happen?
College.
Oh, okay.
As all things debaucherous happen in college.
Very cool. What's your father's name and your mother's name?
My father's name is Behrouz, and my mother's name is Aquarius.
Wow.
And exactly.
Good well, names in the family.
No shortage, of, no shortage of long names in the family. Like, we should all win Wheel of Fortune all the time.
And they're early in the alphabet, too.
They are. They're the A and the B.
They'll get picked first.
Can't get anything past you, Dr. D. I love how you affectionately refer to your father as Bubba. That's a cultural thing, yes?
And, it is. Bubba means, Bubba is the familiar way to say father. It's like dad or daddy mm-hmm. or... and it's pretty much a regional Middle Eastern thing. In Hebrew, it's Abba. In Arabic, it's also Baba. In some parts, it's Yaba. It's interesting.
Yeah. I love that you bring him into the act and affectionately, but then, you know, his comments sometimes, that's going back again to different generations and different places and different perspectives and what they've gone through, I've gone through, what you've gone through. But it's cool that you bring him into the act. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely bring my Bubba into the act. And he is often the antagonist, but it is simply a reflection of generational differences. And it teaches us all. We all have that. Mm-hmm. We all do. With my personal situation, my father is foreign and therefore comes from a very foreign, however, not specifically always cultured or worldly perspective. And we see that. People are just simply people, no matter where mm-hmm. you go in the world.
Yeah. So true. Okay. Well, I want to talk about your podcast, Imperfect Gentlemen. Tell us about what a listener could expect. Like, what are your topics? What are some of your topics, your guests?
Well, I don't know if I can get into all of our topics. However, the concept of the show is myself and my co-host and very good friend, childhood friend, George Corey. We have a show, Imperfect Gentlemen. Every week, we bring female panelists to the show, pick a topic, and they try to, and we listen for us to become better men. So we listen to them on how to become better men, while meanwhile we try to convince them to allow us to slide. By we, I basically mean me for the most part. However, that's the concept of the show. It's guys wanting to be better men. And so we talk about everything. We get into the nitty gritty from the PG to the rated R, and our guests have ranged all across the board as well to people we meet on just last weekend when we were out to celebrities who have a lot to say. And mm-hmm. it's great to hear, because we see with women's magazines, it's always how to treat your man, how to make your man happy. Well, we want to reciprocate.
That's
and
a
figure
great
out a way.
Concept. I love that. I love that show Thanks. Idea. Yeah, that should be a TV show. That's awesome. I love that. Well, check that out. Then you can find that where, Tehran, everywhere.
Well, it's primarily, you can listen to it on iTunes, and it plays live on Dash Radio, which is a form of streaming radio.
Mm-hmm.
And also, we have it on SoundCloud and other platforms, basically anywhere you can consume podcasts, but iTunes is our primary.
Okay, so check that out. It's Imperfect Gentlemen. And then you and Moz just did a tour together, and you're also doing a podcast. Is that right, together?
We are. So Moz and I are still touring. Moz never finishes touring. He is one of the very fortunate comedians who's deserved the right to tour basically forever.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a podcast. Moz has a podcast, which I am also on. I'm his co-host, Back to School with Moz Jabani, where Moz brings an educator of some sort to the show each and every week. And we learn from them. And it came from his kids. Moz has two kids. And them asking Moz questions and Moz not knowing the answers. Now, going back to school to learn from the people who teach.
Sounds to me like the, if I may be so bold as to say it
Please.
This way, the Middle Eastern version of Smarter Than a Fifth Grader. Especially considering
allegedly,
how proud.
That's a copyright infringement. We have no idea what you're referring to. Never heard of that show.
I love having a comedian and attorney on the show.
I like that. Yes,
we need you at every show.
But Your Honor, he opened the door with the statement he made, so I get to talk about it now.
Exactly.
But I think that's very cool.
Whenever you say something that's provocative, if you throw out the word allegedly right after, you're fine. Always throw out the word allegedly.
Okay.
And then it becomes a hypothetical, and therefore it cannot be referred back to you.
So I'll end my statement by saying allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Yeah.
I'm going to put that on my business card.
I never thought of it that way. It is something. It's something, and people listen to it. People have gravitated towards it, thankfully, and they love hearing the conversations. And the conversations go outside of just facts. It also goes into perspectives as well. And obviously, Moz has a very strong perspective.
Okay.
And it's fun. It's fun. It's fun to listen. It's fun to learn.
Yeah, I will say, and because Jeremiah is going to carry us out here, but I will say this: we now have to change the entire closing of the show because you can't end with Evolve. You have to end with allegedly.
Allegedly.
Evolve.
That's how we...
Allegedly.
That's my favorite word, by the way. Allegedly is my favorite word.
Oh, your mom must have loved you growing up, huh? I took out the trash.
I started saying allegedly. Yes, that is a true thing.
Well, I love it. I love what you're doing. I love how you're doing it. I love why you're doing it. And I'm going to ask you one of the questions I ask my guests on my show, because I think I want to codify it down. I want to boil it down to one question, one final word, and then Jeremiah is going to do whatever it is Jeremiah does with the end of the program.
We're still figuring that out.
That's right. We are still working on that one. What is your life's purpose?
Harmony.
I love it.
Perfect.
I love it.
Perfect. Perfect way to go out. Tehran, any other thoughts or final thoughts?
Sure. Some shameful plugs.
Yeah.
I'm at the Laugh Factory on Sunset every Monday and Thursday at 10 p.m. Find me on social atmosphere, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at I am Tehran, I-A-M-T-E-H-R-A-N. My name is Tehran, like the capital of Iran. So if you don't know how to spell it, just watch Fox News.
I hesitate to ask what your last name is.
My last name is Von Gosry.
So sure
my
is.
Mother's
sure.
last name is Von, and my father's last name is Gosry, and they placed the two together to make it Tehran Von Gosry.
Von Gosry.
Tehran, you've been amazing, man. Thanks so much for coming on. I'd love to have you back. Anytime you got a show or you want to promote something, come back and talk to us.
Next time I have to come to In Studio, that drive up is beautiful.
Yeah.
By the way, with his name, he could do something. He could do one other thing. He could become a classical composer. I mean, doesn't that sound like a classical composer's name?
Mm-hmm.
Von Gosry?
Yeah, throw one more thing on there, Tehran. You're not busy. You're not busy enough.
That's the thing. Classical music. Thank you, Dr. D. I'm so glad you weren't my career advisor.
All right.
I'm so glad you weren't like a counselor.
Okay.
With that, we are going to sadly say goodbye to our friend Tehran. And go check him out again down at the Laugh Factory. Mondays and Thursdays at 10. Thank you, sir. Have a wonderful rest of your night. Have a great set tonight. Communicate, listen, and evolve allegedly. Goodbye.